wouldn't want to listen to the truth from anybody that had any authority in the church or who were good members of the church, but they wouldn't listen to them.
What about this home? Did you have any modern facilities in those days? You say your father put in electric lights. Did you have plumbing?
Then he put in the water in the kitchen. That we still have the outside plumbing. But he put the water in the kitchen, and I...
Would this be a hand pump in the kitchen? Or?
No, that was the city water.
City water was there.
Was put in the kitchen. Put in the sink. And I dug a hole right back of the kitchen where the sink was, and it was gravelly there, which was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dug a hole there and put in a couple of lengths of clay pipe, and let the sink drain into this, and we never did have any trouble with it. It always drained away. Never had any trouble with the drain from the sink. And then Father bought a shanty to put at the back of the house and built a porch between it, you know, a landing, so it could go from the kitchen door into the shanty, and there he put the washing machine and put a whole lot of other things there that they didn't have any use for, put in the shanty there.
This was an electric washing machine?
Got an electric washing machine that turned by hand.
What was electric about it then?
Well, it became electric, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
It wasn't electric at first. It had a big wheel on it with a handle on it and turned by hand. I used to turn that for Mother. But when I got to work, I went to work when I was 13 as a call on the railroad. I bought an electric motor. I paid $25 for it.
Expensive.
And put it on the machine, built a platform for it, and put a belt from the pulley on the motor went around this big wheel to the washing machine, and that run the washing machine ever after that.
How old were you when you did that?
Oh, I was about 15 years old.
Was this to get out of turning the washing machine?
Well, after I went to work, I didn't have to turn the washing machine. I had feelings about my mother, how hard it was for her to do that work. Because I was working 12 hours a day on the railroad as a call boy at that time.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Was this the kind of washing machine that had those... this wooden thing inside with some knobs on it?
That's right, wooden dolly.
Go up and down?
The dolly.
Yeah, turned around.
Back and forth.
Back and forth. But it was very crude. They were very crude at that time, the washing machines, but still it was better than washing by hand.
Sure.
And I used to buy my mother, I used to buy her a pair of shoes. If I'd see she needed a pair of shoes, I'd buy her a pair of shoes and buy her a locket to put on her dress, you know.
Uh-huh.
And bought her a watch. And I used to think a lot about her that way. And she'd say, well, don't do this for me. Save your money. But I thought it was right that I should do that for her, and I'd take her to shows occasionally. And I'd buy things for the home. And then we didn't have any music in the home, so I bought a phonograph and a piano.
Was the phonograph that old Edison phonograph that I can remember when I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe it was a Victor.
But it was used the Edison-style records, the big, thick ones.
Yes.
Great big, thick.
Mm-hmm. So I used to like the classical music. I used to like some of the comedy music on it, too, but...
Well, I can remember real comedy music on that. And when we were kids, we really used to like to go listen to that gramophone, whatever it was,
and
wind it up. It had jazzy saxophone selections or something. Would they have been things that you had bought?
Yes.
When you were a young man?
That's what I had bought. And I know there was one there about eggs. It said exactly. I just remember it was a comic strip.
You bought a piano too, didn't you?
Yes, I bought a piano. Never did learn to play it. But it was good for you.
We sold it.
Was that the one that was in our home? When
yeah, that's the one that you took lessons on.
The one I learned on.
Yeah, we had it on. We had it in Marriott, too. We had it in Marriott.
It was sitting around in dust all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back a little earlier, Dad. Where did you first go to school?
Pingree School. On 30th and...
That was your teacher.
Pingree Avenue. I forget the names of the teachers now.
Is that the same Pingree School that stands today?
That's the same one that stands now, but of course they've put additions onto it since that time.
Wasn't part of it the old sandstone structure?
That's right.
Is that the part that was still
old, there? Old sandstone foundation and sandstone entrances, you know. A large entrance there with a sandstone opening there with a...
Must have been something the matter your speech when you was young, when the kids called you nickname.
They used to call me Dutch.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Why was that?
I didn't speak too plain.
Was this in the first and second grade, or...?
Yeah, that was in the first and second, even the third grade.
He was called Dutch for a long time.
Why not they called you Dutch? Because you were part Dutch.
No.
Are you part Dutch?
I am, but that was because of my speech.
Uh-huh.
They call me Dutch. But I thought that was all right. Having that nickname, I didn't mind it when I was a kid.
Do you remember any of your teachers or any events connected?
Oh, Etta Butts, one of them. Then there was her sister. Don't know her first name. They came from the East. And they were good teachers. And outside of those two, I don't remember the others. Joe Pingree was a janitor at that time. I remember one winter, it was very cold. I come to school and my hands were just about froze, and he put my hands in cold water so as to take the frost out of them.
Happened to you and the mom.
Yeah. I remember one time going to school, there was 28th Street ditch used to be open all the way down here. As I was going to school, I was jumping, I'd jump across the ditch and then back and forth, you know. On the last jump, I fell in the creek. I ran home and changed clothes. And mother put my best suit of clothes on me that I had. And I run off to church. I was just a few minutes late, or to school, rather. Never did go to church. Didn't know anything about it. So the folks didn't go to church, and I didn't go to church. We used to have our own recreation, us boys. During the summertime, we'd fish and we'd go swimming. Swim all day, most of the time. Swim down Weber River.
Would you fish in Weber River also?
Yeah, we'd fish in Weber River.
What part of the river? Is this the part just west of where the main tracks are now? And
yeah, directly west of 28th Street is where we used to fish. And I remember the first carp that I caught, I guess I was just as tickled as Wendell was. I sure ran home with it. Another thing, we used to get kill frogs and skin their legs, cut off their legs and skin them and fry them.
Fried frogs' legs.
And that's one thing that all mothers don't like. Mother didn't like that. We had to fry our own frog's legs. But we got a lot of kick out of it. You know, when you fry frog legs, why the legs, they move about, you know.
Yeah.
Just like the nerves are moving.
Uh-huh.
So that's one thing that mothers don't like about boys frying frog legs. We used to think they tasted good, too.
Did you catch other fish besides carp in the Weber River?
We used to catch suckers.
Uh-huh.
Never used to catch any trout in the Weber River. And then we used to play baseball in the summertime. There was plenty of vacant lots, and we used to have a lot of fun playing baseball. I know. I used to catch behind the bat. I've got two crooked fingers there, and I'm from catching foul tips.
Mm.
See how crooked that?
How old were you at the time you're talking about now?
Oh, I was about 10 when I got those, that from foul tips.
What do you suppose it did? Did it break the bone in the knuckle? Or
broke these bones in these first knuckles here. Got them crooked.
In didn't those days, did they take you to a doctor or something
no.
like that?
No, I never thought anything about going to a doctor. We used to catch freight trains, too, and ride up to Morgan.
Oh,
on the UP, and we'd catch freight trains on SP and ride to Corinne, and then come back.
How old were you when you were doing this?
Oh, I don't know, about 12, I guess, when we was doing that.
Did your mother know about that?
Well, they didn't want us to do it, but they just couldn't help themselves.
Well, where are the we? Your brother, any of your brothers in on this?
Oh, yes, Sam, he used to be on it, too. And
Ralph?
No, Ralph, he was younger than he did. He didn't go around with us at that time. He was so much younger than we were. And then we used to box. I had a pair of boxing gloves, and I used to be a good boxer. I guess, which is no credit to me, being a good boxer, but...
Oh, I don't know.
I could really handle them gloves. I had a punching bag. I'd got a lot of joy out of that. That's one thing that gives you a lot of exercise, is a punching bag. And then we used to like to do chin-ups and get on a bar and go over, you know, over and over on a bar. And when I was a lad, I sure got a lot of physical exercise.
What age are you talking about here again, this boxing and whatnot?
Oh, boxing when I was about 16 to 18 years of age, 20. And I used to box with professionals. There wasn't any money in them. Just the glory we got out of it.
Oh.
I remember one time I had a fight with a boy of another gang. He was bigger than I was, and he was a good boxer, too. But he had my face bleeding all over.
Oh.
Had my face all cut up.
Oh.
I figured I had to stay with him. I stayed with him and wore him down. Got him tired, and then they called it a draw.
Huh. Where would they hold these fights?
Well, this one was held up on City Hall Square. There was a circus up there at that time, that day.
Big audience then, huh?
Yeah, had a big audience.
Is that the present side of the City Hall?
That's the present side of the, well, just west of it. All that...
That
space west
area.
Of it to Grand Avenue was vacant property, and they had circuses there.
Oh, well, let's not get to the politics quite yet. Let's let's see. I wanted to. You went to work as a call boy at 13. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, how much formal education did you manage to get then?
Seventh grade.
Was this all at Pingree School?
That was all at Pingree School.
What kind of grades did you get in school?
I got good grades. I got, except grammar. I wasn't too good in grammar, but all the others I got A. I was good in geography and history and arithmetic. My teacher said I was one of the best in the school on arithmetic.
Uh-huh.
I got the best grades. I always got A.
Before we get too far along, I just remembered I wanted to have you describe your parents. I remember them, but perhaps not nearly as well as you do. What was your mother like physically, and what did she look like? Color of her eyes and so on.
She was a slender woman, blue eyes, black hair. And father was a man about 5 foot tall. I think he was in my estimation, he was a good-looking man. He always had wore a mustache, black mustache.
Your dad hair. Was only 5 foot. He must have been taller now, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, about 5'2", I guess. I was taller than he was.
He's real short, then.
Yeah, he's a real short man.
Well, I can remember that mustache, I believe. Did that mustache have a twirl on the end or not?
No, he didn't have a twirl on it. He always kept it well trimmed.
Mm-hmm. How much did he weigh?
140 pounds.
He was black, dark hair, wasn't he?
Yes, had dark hair.
Blue eyes?
Blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mother.
Now, your mother had quite hollow eyes, as I remembered. Is that
yes,
right?
Uh-huh.
Were they always that way?
Yes.
Deep set?
Mm-hmm.
Deep set eyes.
Is he like his mother?
I look like my mother.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot. I don't look much like my father.
He's a good-looking man.
Mm-hmm. See me with my derby there? Look at that hat there.
Yeah.
There's my hat I wore, a soldier's hat.
Army.
In the Army.
Now, how about...
Louis Washington.
How about your father's personality? What was he like?
Well, he was...
Never got mad, did he?
No, never got angry. Pretty agreeable man. And... pretty easy going with us kids. He never did tell us anything or teach us anything.
You ever get a good licking?
Got a licking once.
What was that about?
Oh, got on a train and went to Syracuse. I think we went to Syracuse, go on the road.
This was
road to Salt Lake.
Riding the freight train again?
Riding the freight train, and then freight train coming the other way. They were kind of slow. Coming along, they're getting along till night. I got in, this boy I was with, we got on the, caught that train. It was late at night when we got home. Oh, it must have been about 10 o'clock, and I got a good thrashing from my father that night. The first licking he ever gave me. I deserved it.
Was riding these freight trains by kids fairly common in those days?
Yes, it was.
Did they have bouncers to try and kick you off?
Well, the brakeman... it bothered us once in a while. They didn't seem to bother us very much. I know one time going to Morgan, going up the hill from Uinta, why the brakeman got down at the side of the train, and we, us kids, were on the rods, and he picked up...
Underneath?
Yeah, we were underneath on the rods. He picked up rocks and was throwing rocks at us.
Oh, boy.
So we had to get on the other side, or climb over on the rods on the other side. That was quite a difficult job while I was doing it, when these hit the ties one time.
Oh, boy.
Drug on the ties until I could get them raised up again and get back on.
Oh, boy. Dangerous.
Get them back on the rods again. So we used to go up there to play baseball.
Oh.
We played a Morgan team up there. How we ever got along with our bats and balls and masks and one thing or another, I can hardly figure it out, but we did.
Did you have sponsors, or did you just get together with a team on your own?
We used to have our own team, and they had the team. We'd get together on our own up there, play ball with them.
Well, now you mentioned gangs. What kind of gangs were these? When we hear talk of kids' gangs nowadays, we think of a bunch of tough kids with knives. Was it that way in those days?
No, just from your own neighborhood. See?
Just your own neighborhood gang. Just
that's all.
Your own associates from the neighborhood.
Yes.
All that meant.
No, we never did have any trouble in any way with anybody, with any gangs.
What are the duties of a call boy on the railroad? What did you have to do?
Oh, well, when the train was ordered for 2:30 in the morning, well, we'd have to go and go to the residence of these men and get them up out of bed and have them sign the call book. tell them they was to go out on extra engine number 1555 at 2:30 a.m. and they'd have to get down there, and engineer would have to oil the engine around and get it ready.
You were the alarm clock then?
Yeah, I was the alarm clock for them.
No telephones, I guess.
They did have some telephones, a few.
Go ahead.
Speaking of calling these engineer and firemen out in the middle of the night, 2:30 a.m. on extra, it'd be extra 1505, not extra 1555. They had 1500s and 1900s, I remember at that time. 1500s, which were called single engines, and the 1900s were Baldwin compounds with four cylinders. The 1500s just had one cylinder. The steam go in each end of the cylinder. But on the compounds where the steam would go from the high pressure cylinder to the low pressure cylinder, it was used twice before going into the exhaust, not into the air.
Well, now, how did you get the information that you in turn took to the engineers and so on?
The yard office would tell us when the train was to leave. Now, at the yard office, they have the information there because the trains are made up by the yard crews, by the switchmen, and they have a yard master over them and assistant yard masters. And when the train was made up, and the cars were all switched together on one track, and the caboose was put on the train, then they'd call the roundhouse and tell them what time the train was to leave.
Well, now, where would you be? Would you be at home sleeping? Or?
No, I'd be at the roundhouse. I worked on a night shift for about 3 years before I got on days.
So you'd have to sleep at home and work there at night?
I'd sleep home in the daytime and be there 12 hours at night. 30 hours, or 30 days a month, 12 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That's a lot of work. What kind of pay they give you for it?
Started out at $25 a month, and they raised it to
$50. Mm-hmm.
At $50 a month, they had consolidated the Union Pacific and Southern Pacifics into the Harriman system of railroads. Into the Harriman system of railroads. So then I had to call both Southern Pacific crews for the west and Union Pacific crews for the east. So then I got on days and had to ride my bicycle most of the time because of all the men didn't have telephones, especially the Union Pacific men. Most of the engine men on the Union Pacific lived in Evanston at that time.
Hmm.
A few of them were living in Ogden, but not too many. So I'd have to go to rooming houses to call them.
Were most of these rooming houses fairly near the roundhouse?
They were near the roundhouse. So it'd be close for them.
How long did you work as one of these call boys? Is that what they called them?
Yes. I worked about 6 years as a call boy. And then I went to fire and switch engine in Ogden Yard.
How old were you when you did that?
19. You were supposed to be 21 years of age to go firing. So the way to do that was to just make your age 2 years younger. So,
you mean 2 years older?
Or 2 years older, rather.
How did you manage that?
Oh, I just changed my birth date to 1889 instead of 1887.
Well, you must have looked like...
Now, this is Tracy Hall again, and today is the 3rd of February of 1990. I'm still taking these 7.5-inch discs on the Wallensack recorder and recording to another recorder that has the modern cassette type decks. The 7.5-inch tape broke, and I had to make a repair, so there may be some gap or repeat of just a little bit of what has gone before. But now the discs have been turned over, and so we'll now start hearing from the other side of these 7.5-inch discs and getting them recorded onto the cassettes.
Now?
Yeah, let's see, you were saying you had to squib about your age a couple of years so you could be a fireman.
Yeah, so I was born in 1887, so I made it 1885. That made me 2 years older, made me 21. So I was able to go to work on the railroad in Ogden Yards as a fireman for the Ogden Union Railway and Depot Company.
What routes did you run?
Just in the Ogden Yard.
Oh, just in the yard.
Making up trains.
What kind of pay was that?
That was $84 a month. When I was making $25 a month, I used to turn it all over to my parents. And then when I was making $50 a month as a call boy, I gave them 35 of it for my board. And when I was working on fire as a switch engine fireman in the Ogden Yards, I gave them $35 a month board.
Now, how long were you on firing?
I was on for a couple of years firing.
Was this 12-hour day job too?
That was 12 hours a day.
30 days a month?
30 days a month, 365 days a year. So you laid off occasionally, but it was really in those days working so long, such long hours.
Fireman mean that you had to shovel all that coal in with a hand shovel?
That's right. They had coal at that time. Later on, they did get oil for engines to heat them with, fire them with oil to make the steam. In those days, that's all they knew was coal. And all the engines were hand-fired. They didn't have any stokers in those days. It wasn't too hard in the yards when you get a hold of a drag, as they called it, and pull it up the hill and then switch them to the different tracks. That's the only time you really had to work. And of course, the fireman had to keep the water in the boiler through the injector, put on the injector to run the water into the boiler from the tender.
Mm-hmm.
The tender behind the engine held the coal and the water. It takes a lot of water to make steam. That's the reason that the railroads make better time today. They don't, with these diesel engines, they don't have to stop along the way for fuel and for coal and water like they did in those days.
All the water went up the chimney, didn't it? It was never condensed and reused.
No, the water, purpose of the water going out the stack is to, through the exhaust, is to intensify the fire in the engine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To make the fire hotter. That burn up the coal faster, but it makes more heat.
Mm-hmm.
So that draft from the exhaust is what burns up the coal and makes the heat to make the steam. And that front end has to be tight, so it has to be airtight so that to make that exhaust work. It has to be a vacuum in the front end there,
uh-huh,
on the smoke end of the boiler.
Who are some of your best friends as a youngster and a young man?
Oh, Jim White and Joe Siegel and Matt Galt.
They were nice guys, too.
Hmm?
Joe Siegel, they were nice fellows.
Yeah, they were nice fellows. They're very good. Jim, he worked with me in the yards. He fired switch engine also.
Jim White?
Jim White, he was a call boy. He was calling train crews when I was calling engine crews. So we used to get together, and after we got through work at night, we'd spend 2 or 3 hours every morning before we went home doing stunts.
What kind of stunts?
Oh, acrobatic stunts.
Oh?
Like that, one thing or another. So when we used to go out nights, shall I tell you the things we used to do?
Sure.
We'd go out
the whole truth.
We'd go out nights, go up 25th Street, and we'd stop in a chili parlor there. I forget the name of it now. Used to be prominent chili parlor. We'd go in there and eat, get our meals there, and we'd have beer to drink, and we'd go in Murphy's lots of times when we wouldn't go to this chili house down on 25th near Wall.
Uh-huh.
We used to go in there, and we'd get what we'd call beanos. We'd get one of these French loaves of bread and take the inside of it out and fill it full of pork and beans.